live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 236. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
What's going on, Brandon Reif? What's going on, Crossroads listening audience? Brandon, I can tell you, man, I've had better weeks, man. I got sideswiped last week. I got sideswiped. The driver kept on going, man. So I've been dealing with that, man. But it didn't prevent me from watching any of the, you know what I'm saying, great games that transpired this past weekend and football, basketball, I kind of was glued in. But like, nah, man, you know what I'm saying? Holiday boo hoo, man, bah humbug, man. Yeah, I got side swiping, like I said, driver kept on going, man. But hey, man, you know what? Thanksgiving, we came out of Thanksgiving holiday, man. How could you be sad about that? You know what I'm saying? If you're family, I'm family oriented, you know what I mean? Everybody knows me, right? And how could you be sad about, you know what I'm saying, going into a Christmas holiday? So, you know, we make the most of it, you know what I'm saying, around here. But, like, Brandon, yeah, sideswipe. Can you believe it?
Oh, damn, during the holidays. And they kept going.
During the holidays, right.
That's tough.
Kept on going, right.
They had stores to get to, apparently, Black Friday deal.
I guess, man. But, like, man, preach, Brandon, give us the official rundown for tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Big show tonight. We got college football talk. We've got championship week, conference championship week. So we've got our picks this evening. We won't have Tanner's tonight, but he'll get them to us this week. Tanner's down at the IU North Carolina game later tonight. So he's down there. Yeah, man on the streets down there. I mean, I guess we could call him and get him on, but I don't know what the inebriation level will be. But we've got college football. We got our talks. We got the Big Ten championship game this weekend. I'll be in attendance for that game.
There you go.
It was tough to get credentials, John. I tried to do two, and they sent the first wave out, and I didn't get on the list for the first wave, so I thought it was done. And then the other night, Monday night, I got the email. So excited to be there for the Big Ten championship. We'll talk that. News and notes from around the world of college football as well. We've got some NFL news, obviously. Colts, we're going to recap Colts Steelers. I was at the game. Some talk around the league. We had Survivor Series this past weekend. WWE, I actually enjoyed it. AEW is in town tonight. And I totally forgot it was in town until I saw MJF's middle finger to the Indy statue at the airport. He can always get you turned up. And then obviously, we got to talk college basketball, the state of college basketball, where it's at now. And it was a great weekend, great, great weekend to be just a Purdue Boilermaker fan in general. So
absolutely. Right.
Riding high on that, World Cup USA with a big one yesterday. So we'll talk that and more, a little bit of the association, take your calls. But I would be remiss if I didn't start the show with this little soundbite right here.
Halliburton to inbound from the far side. He'll flip it to the top. Turner is wide open, but he missed short with a three. Rebound Halliburton. 3 seconds to go. Drives to the wing. Nembhard beat the clock, and it's over! Nembhard beat the clock with a three from out of the left edge as time expires. The call on the floor is good, and the Pacers are mobbing Nembhard, who beat the clock.
After replay review, it is confirmed.
And it's confirmed. Kevin Pritchard storms the full court. John, I quit watching the game. I got home from the football game. I quit watching it. They were down like 15 or 16 in the fourth, and I was like, ah, shit, that's a wrap. I can't step in later. I got to work the next day. And then,
right.
Oh, my goodness. I had to close my eyes and open back up. I said, what in the world? Pacers comeback win. Wild win.
It's definitely an eye-opening, as anybody can attest to. The Pacers are playing above 500 basketball, And guess what, Brandon? The Golden State Warriors and the Dallas Mavericks are playing about, I think both of them are like, are either 10-10 or 11-11 after 20 or so games. I could be, check me on that.
Yeah,
but
right.
The Pacers are, playing 500 basketball. This was supposed to be, we've been the most critical probably on our show of anybody, I would say, of Kevin Pritchard and the moves and like, trade Miles Turner and what's going on with Duarte's health and, you know what I'm saying? And are we going to get the pick back from Cleveland? All those things, man. And, like, Brandon, they have everything kind of, you know what I'm saying, under control. Again, we're still far away from competing with the likes of, you know, at championship level with the likes of Milwaukee or Golden State. But, like, this is the Pacers team that we kind of all wanted the last two seasons, right? And you have to give credit to the roster maker, and that would be Kevin Pritchard. You have to give credit to the coaching staff. That would be Carlisle and some of the Calvin Chaney and Ronald Norris and some of the other folks that are on the bench. And they've got the most out of these young guys, and these guys ain't just here to, you know, just to fall and hopefully play with the next guy from Duke or Kansas or Kentucky. They're here to try to, you know what I'm saying, win some ball games, man. So, you know, Brandon, it is very heartwarming to see, you know what I'm saying. Here's what I'll say, Brandon. It's kind of concerning, too.
Uh-oh.
It's heartwarming to see them not to show some fight and to get back in the games. But it's also concerning, like, why are you down so quickly? They were down early in the Clipper game and never got back.
They do it every game. Every first quarter, they're down so much.
Yeah, so what are we doing from, I mean, is that, like, do they need to inject some that offensive firepower that they have on the bench back into the starting lineup? I don't know if that means you put Mathurin back in. Does that mean you put Brissett, you know what I'm saying, who's been kind of quiet last couple of games, but he's been a catcher fire his damn self too. Like, so, like, what do you, like, they got to stop with the slow starts. We can't have you and the Pacer Nation checking out when we're going on a West Coast road trip, because that is a one for, like, LeBron and AD had a 19. You're right, they had a 16-17 point lead going into the fourth quarter, and the Pacers. You can say it's a meltdown defensively, or the Pacers really just hit shot in the fourth quarter and got after it. Lakers just go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think even with Andrew Nembhard, I think we're seeing. Because at Gonzaga, we didn't see any of this at Gonzaga. He had a different role at Gonzaga. And now the Pacers kind of asked him, hey, we need you to be this shooter. We need you to be this second fiddle type of guy. And it's awesome to see him step up to the plate when needed and hit a big shot. Because if I'm right, before this game, I think he missed three games or so with an injury before the Laker game.
Yeah, he missed two or three games. The youth movement is if get Pacer Nation. If you haven't done yourself, I know it's a little kooky. With
the rebuild is off. It's been sped up.
Yeah.
The building's up.
I don't know.
The concrete's dry. The building is up, and the concrete is drying on that rebuild.
Right, the rebuild concrete. Yeah, right. All those things, because, like, even Miles Turner is playing better.
Hey, are you
right?
Watching tonight?
They play Sacramento, man. Of course.
I'm very anxious to see Miles Turner versus Sabonis tonight. I cannot wait.
Let's hope both of them play.
We talk about the good, and I love my Pacers, okay? I love the Pacers. We love them. Well, we want to love them. They don't love us as much as we love them, obviously, credential-wise. But I do want Miles Turner, because any time a guy scores 27 points and 30 rebounds – against you, like Zubac did on Sunday night. We got to talk about it, John. That's embarrassing. And for a guy who's trying to get to L.A., that's not a good audition in front of the home fans in the city.
No, right. No. Zubac put up like 29 and 29.
Yeah.
It was something crazy, man. It was something crazy. So, like, Miles Turner. Again, I know we kind of dog walk Miles Turner here too, man. We are very critical of his game, but for somebody who considers themselves a defensive force in the NBA and wants to be named Defensive Player of the Year at some point, like, you can't have Zubac of the world. And Zubac is a skilled player, but you can't have Zubac going off on you like this. You know what I'm saying? You're absolutely right. So they've got to get. I mean, again, Brad, it's another thing. They've got to get consistent effort. And not get down in these games. And they again, the Pacers, they're good. Nembhard's good. Mathurin's good. The kid we got in the trade, from Sacramento, Halliburton, he's good. I mean, Duarte is just can't stay 100% healthy. He's good. So, you know, I like what the Pacers have done. It just remains to be seen, you know, how well they gel and go further and grow.
Yeah. Tonight will be good to see Sabonis and Turner go at it. They interviewed Sabonis earlier. He's excited for the matchup, so I may put a little bet down on this one just
Brandon,
because.
It's arguable, man. I know. Somebody who listened to me was like, man, Halliburton ain't it. I said that last year. But
we
it's
did.
Arguable, man. Maybe Sacramento is now maybe regretting that they held on to De'Aaron Fox and didn't keep Halliburton. I think Halliburton, and he's like leading the league. He's like either first or second in assists. Something crazy,
yeah.
Man.
But, yeah, and he's got 40 in his last four games. It's or three last three games, 40 assists and zero turnovers.
That's crazy.
For
dude.
A point guard in the NBA. Who don't give a shit as a point guard. So, yeah, very cool. We'll see how it goes tonight. Pacers rebuild is off, people. And, breaking news. Been a while since we've had some breaking news on the show. It's not good. It's not good.
Uh-oh.
Out of the state of Nebraska, John. They just recently hired Matt Rhule as their head coach at Nebraska, who
sure
and pull the tweets back into September and October 1st. I said if they're smart, they need to go out and get Matt Rhule when he's fired from Carolina. What'd they do? They went out and hired Matt Rhule. So boom, count that up there, John. Put that on the list, John, of like my LeBron takes from back in the day that I had. So. Obviously, their old coach, who was their interim coach, they had Scott Frost, they fired him, and then Mickey Joseph became the interim head coach for them before they went in and decided to hire Matt Rhule on a crazy 8-year contract, which now he's getting money from Carolina, and he's also getting money from Nebraska. But the breaking news, yeah. Former interim Nebraska head coach Mickey Joseph has been arrested and booked into Lancaster
what?
County Jail on suspicion of strangulation and third-degree assault.
Wow, man, what the hell, dude? The season's over? You just said the hell with it, huh?
Apparently he did. He don't want another job or something. He took it the bad
I
way.
Guess, man. He's,
strangulation?
He's giving himself the death certificate as far as football is concerned, professionally, man. Brandon, I that's a little bit too TMZ, low-hanging fruit for me right now to properly assess. I'll look at the Matt Rhule. So we do know Matt Rhule to be, at least on that level, collegially, to be a football we'll say he's a seven golly. He knows what he's doing when it comes to collegiate football. He had great success at Temple. Right, and I know you've had your love hate with the Temple football fandom, Brandon. He also had a pretty stellar run at Baylor. So if you're telling me, Brandon, that he can bring a different culture to Nebraska, I'm gonna say 100% yes. If you're telling me that he can recruit in Nebraska, I'm gonna tell you 100% that he can, because he's shown that he can do it at, you know what I'm saying, kind of like not necessarily, you know, schools that aren't necessarily known to be meccas for football. Baylor is now, right? We know this probably because a lot of what he did his time and tenure there, too, right? But
right.
Simple, you know what I mean? So Matt Rhule in Nebraska, I like it. You know me, Brandon. Until they settle, like address to like why they really suck, you know what I'm saying? As far as recruiting and winning that matchup, Matt Rhule is basically going to be recouping. And like, how much is the contract for? That number, that's what it'll be. I think they'll have, because again, man, it ain't like the Big Ten has leveled up, right? Matt Rhule is over here. Luke Fickell is coming over from Cincinnati. UCLA, that means you know who that is. He's coming over. USC, he's coming over. The Big Ten is hot and going further, you know what I'm saying, as we talk about super conference, which gives me a tickle, but as we talk about, you know what I'm saying, these conferences getting bigger and bigger, you know, teams are going to be, you know, what I want to say, they're going to be, you know what I'm saying, laying out big money for coaches and expecting, you know what I'm saying, big returns. So I wish Matt Rhule the best. I think he is, you're right, he is most qualified for a collegiate job like Nebraska, but like, man, he's got an uphill battle in front of him.
Yeah, absolutely. as you mentioned, Luke Fickell to Wisconsin. I think it's a perfect fit for Wisconsin. It's crazy that they didn't give it to Jim Leonard, who was the interim coach and kind of worked it back up to where it needed to be. But it's a no-brainer for Luke Fickell. He can get in there. It's a power school and a power five. I think he's looking at him, John, looks Wisconsin-like. So
he started his whatever succession plan or wherever he wants to go next, because there's rumors that Ballard was thinking about tapping him to come to the NFL at some point. You know what I mean? That he had mentioned that he was fond of him in a different pressure. We all know that he's an Ohio State alumni. You know what I'm saying? So there's rumors and, you know, innuendos that he might end up, especially what he did with Cincinnati. I get it, Brandon. I get it. There can be winning football with Wisconsin. We've seen it. As far as the hierarchy of teams that get the talent and the players and all that limelight, Wisconsin is right there. We're going to say a step down behind Ohio State, step behind Michigan, right? But there's times when Wisconsin teams, they beat a Michigan, but then fall flat and beat Ohio State. Again, I think it's going to be I think he's definitely the right guy. Both of those guys are the right guys to be the head coaches of those. That dude, if Jim Harbaugh ain't leaving, right, and if the Luke Fickell's good guy, good buddy over there, and Ryan Day over at Ohio State, those two guys kind of got their thumbprint on the Big Ten. And Brandon, I don't want to dominate because I want you to talk a little bit about Purdue football. Purdue football, wouldn't you say they're on the rise? Like a couple bounces to the right or left, they beat Syracuse. Couple bounces to the right or left, they beat, you know what I'm saying, their record's a little bit different. Basically, I'm trying to say their record's a little bit different. And maybe, you know what I'm saying, outside of that, maybe that Penn State game. Even that game, they were in, you know. Like, what does their record look like? So everybody's kind of, like, leveling up, except for maybe IU and Northwestern, sorry, right? But, like, everybody's kind of, like, leveling up in the Big Ten, man. So it's going to make for next 3 years going into it, it's going to make for, you know what I'm saying, a much talked-about league and you know what I'm saying, what does that look like, you know what I'm saying, going further as far as the CFP is concerned.
Right. I said it on Saturday morning on Twitter, you know, Jeff Brohm and Purdue had to beat IU. They had to, because I said this may be the only shot they get at winning the Big Ten West ever. I mean, you got USC, you got UCLA both coming over. You've got Luke Fickell in your division over with Wisconsin. You know he's going to get the recruits and the players over there. I think him going over there, I put them ahead of Purdue already. I told you, if they didn't win, you have to fire Jeff Brohm. I mean, how many chances do you have to give the guy? 4 or 5 games, he had a chance to wrap up the Big Ten West, and it fell into our lap. Thank God it fell into their lap.
Because Iowa lost.
Yeah, Iowa lost to Nebraska in Mickey Joseph's final game. Shout out. Mm-hmm. Got too excited. But my thing is, John, is they're leveling up. I still think Purdue's got work to do. Are they happy with where they're at? Absolutely. I think, and we'll preview it when we go to our picks. I think they're excited to be there, and they're playing with house money. So sometimes a team with house money is very dangerous. We'll see what happens. But I put on there, if they didn't win that game against IU, Jeff Brohm needed to be fired for as many chances you had to do it, and you're not capitalizing on your few chances you have to win a Big Ten West title. So Luke Fickell, and we'll go back to Purdue football, but Luke Fickell, he goes up there to insert his offense, John. He's going to be looking to make a splash. Does he go out and get Hudson Card from Texas, who's in the transfer portal now? Does he try to get him up there?
That's another thing that we got to look for, that we got to look into. Like, what is that? There's a lot of guys transferring right now.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know, man. Fickell has used the transfer portal. A lot of those guys, except for the quarterback that he had last year in that Cincinnati team, they were transfers. You know what I'm saying? A few key guys were transfers. So who knows, man? There's always some pissed off guy from Michigan that felt like he didn't get the time that he wanted. Maybe he goes to Wisconsin. There's a maybe Luke Fickell take some of those guys he's already has in Cincinnati. They feel that, and that's the reason why I kind of see it's almost, Brandon, I know you loved it. I like it. I don't love the move because it's almost kind of lateral. Cincinnati,
I don't
Wisconsin.
See that lateral.
Well, here's the thing, though, Brandon. Here's why it's not lateral, and I'll give you that. Wisconsin paid more, and they can pay more because it's a bigger school. Cincinnati is basically a mid-major competing in a Power Five, but they don't the money that they bring in as far as, like, you know, saying student fees and, you know, saying what they get from the state, what they get from the boosters, does not compare with what Wisconsin, you know, saying has, right? So, Brandon, I hope it, Luke Fickell, I'm rooting for him because I like him, right? But I think his task is a little bit easier. I mean, I know if we had to compare, I think his task is a little bit easier than Matt Rule's. But both of them, like, you got your work cut out for you.
I've got them winning the Big Ten West next year.
Wow! Hold on. The two Pac-10 teams don't come over, do they?
No, a couple more years.
Okay, so a couple of years. Okay, so all right, I can buy that. I'm with that. I can go with. What you gonna do with Illinois? Forgot about this.
I mean, they'll be in second. They'll play Bridesmaid next year, probably. Second. I got to look at their roster. I haven't really looked into it too much.
Yeah, I got
second or third, I would say. I think Purdue takes
people on notice stuff. For real,
I think Purdue takes a step back because you're going to lose Charlie Jones. He was your number one wide receiver. You had him for 1 year. So, unless you got some recruits coming in, which I haven't looked at the thing fully yet, shame on me, but. Yeah, just kind of looking ahead, I got Wisconsin. Based on the roster that they're going to have before this transfer portal, the head coaching experience, if you ask me who do I trust more in a big game, Jeff Brohm or Luke Fickell, I'm going to tell you, 9 times out of 10,
Fickell, right.
I'm going to take Luke Fickell.
Right, because he's been there. Yeah, because he's been there.
So,
right.
And I've seen the collapse that Purdue's done, so I've lived it. Talking about coaching changes, John, as much as I was right on Matt Rule, I will accept the ones that I'm wrong on. And the one that I thought, for how long I said it was going to happen, it was going to happen, it was going to happen, it was working itself into fruition, Lane Train staying at Ole Miss, and they go out and get Hugh Freeze from Liberty, who before Liberty was at
Ole
Miss.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then got in the scandals, got in all the hookers and all that stuff going, you know, he misdialed a hooker's number accidentally, but can you accidentally do it eight times?
Is that what he told him at Auburn?
He told him, hey, I rewatched the thing today. He told him he accidentally must have butt dialed it, but 8 times.
Oh, wow.
The hooker's number. So
it could happen.
Big damn.
It could happen.
It could happen. It could. But, so they go out and get him. Lane's staying. Apparently, they didn't offer Lane, which is crazy to me. But it had to mean that Auburn boosters are like, you're not going to go out and get this Alabama boy. We don't want Lane.
Right.
Because I guarantee the AD, the president and all them, they wanted, and probably the fans too, they wanted Lane.
Right.
It's the boosters, the big money people, the donors that said no.
Right. Now, as we're discussing this, Brandon, I'm gonna try to figure out. I don't have any leads on anything Auburn related outside of, you know what I'm saying, at one point they used to be a halfway decent program, football and basketball, right? And it's going, you know what I'm saying, different kind of ways now. Brandon, it's nothing against Hugh Freeze. You know what I mean? I get it. Like, he, you know what I'm saying, got a thing for, you know what I'm saying, different tastes, right? for different things, man. But, you know, he's done his, you know, his penance, man. You know, I just don't understand where Auburn. I think people were wanting a bigger name. You know what I'm saying?
I think Hugh Freeze is a big name. I do.
I'm not saying Deion because I don't think Deion wants any parts of the SEC right now. You know what I'm saying? But I just thought people wanted maybe. There's some NFL guys, coaches out there, and not Frank Reich. But they could definitely coach at that level.
Did you see
his
contract?
Yes, I did. I had. Where's our homie Ed Orgeron? You know what I mean? I don't think he's going to be.
He's up in South Bend where his sons are at.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So,
but When you're when your contract, and I'll give it to Auburn for covering their asses because you don't they don't want a mockery of what Ole Miss used to do, but in the contract for Hugh Freeze, it states that Auburn University has full control and access to his Twitter account and his phone. Full access. It's in the contract, John. How wild is that?
I
his own Twitter account is being followed and watched by Auburn University.
Well, surely he won't make the same mistake twice. But
oh,
now,
remember, this
twice.
Is the same guy that coached from the hospital bed. You remember that,
dude? That
they wheeled a hospital bed up in the press box at Liberty, and he coached from the hospital bed. They ESPN kept showing it a couple years ago.
Yeah. He needs to write a book, man, because he's football crazy.
Yeah. So Lane Train's staying. No new 8-year deal at Ole Miss. I think that's good for them. Will he stay there all 8 years? I don't know, but we'll see. Man, mugshots coming out from Lincoln, Nebraska on Mickey Joseph, 54, Lincoln, strangulation, third degree domestic assault. He is in jail. 1:54 p.m. this afternoon.
Hmm.
So, not too happy. So, we've talked the coaching moves. Purdue Boilermakers, we talked to them. I want to talk now. Let me bring up, before we do picks and any of that stuff, and before we talk, I want to talk, and I'd like to talk extensively about this, college football playoff rankings, John. Ohio State Michigan game was this past weekend. Obviously, great first half, great game, and then Michigan just stepped on their throats. Ohio State to me looked timid and nervous. Stroud didn't take very many chances. Fourth and two, and you kind of just we'll kick it. Michigan, John, I think they had 300 yards of rushing in the second half. They had zero at halftime. Pushed it down their throats at Ohio State. Let's talk that real quick, man.
Planted the flag. Planted the flag in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Of
planet. Ryan Day's on the hot seat? Should be. He only has two goals at Ohio State. Win a national title and beat Michigan.
In that world, he is on the hot seat. You can be 55-5 against everybody, 55 and whatever. Zilch. You can beat Purdue. We don't care. Why
There's
haven't
only
we
one guy that can write that ship.
Why can't you beat Michigan?
Can't
you know
do
what I'm
it.
Saying? And vice versa.
And
I mean,
didn't he talk all that shit? He talked all that shit saying, Michigan ain't going to do what they did to us last night. He talked all that shit in that offseason, and then you go up there and at home and lay an egg in front of your fans.
Well, Brandon, I called it. You got to find that audio. You refuse to find that audio, but I called
it. No, I didn't refuse. I haven't had a chance, man. That's a lot of audio. I need to start clipping.
Y'all were like, what? Michigan's going to go where? I was like, yeah.
We all took them in our pick-ems. We all had Michigan in the pick-em.
Well, here's the thing. I thought Blake Corum would be more of a factor.
Yeah, played like three plays.
Yeah, he got hurt the previous game, and it kind of showed he's still hurt. So, but like, no, man, the quarterback from Michigan, like Harbaugh now has a guy that he can trust. It was a great game and came unraveled in the second half, Brandon. And our friend CJ Stroud, he will get picked. He's a top six quarterback in this top
stay.
Six player, not just quarterback, top
stay.
Six player in this draft coming up. But Brandon. I couldn't pick him.
I wouldn't either.
He needs
to stay another year.
Mechanical. It's a little mechanical. Oh, no. He can't stay another year.
He needs to.
Brandon, there's no way. There's no way.
Then he needs to go to
there's
Oklahoma
a possibility,
State.
There is a possibility, though, he'll be playing for the Colts, and that's what I'm afraid of.
Oh, God. I wouldn't want him or Alabama boy. Either one.
Well,
neither one have impressed me to be NFL ready. I don't even think they're going to be as good as what Justin Fields has done. I think I put Justin Fields ahead of those two.
No, I like Bryce Young.
I don't. I don't. I just don't think.
Brandon, once TCU chokes off this game, USC chokes off this game against Utah, Alabama.
Who are you comparing to in the NFL?
Bryce Young.
Yeah.
So he's a little, small on the small side, right? A little bit taller.
Okay,
than,
that's Kyler Murray size.
No, taller than him. He's taller than my guy that played for the Saints. He's taller than him, just a little bit. Bryce.
Jameis.
No. They used to the Hall of Famer. They used to play for Purdue.
Drew Brees.
That's kind of like what it's.
Get some respect.
That's group.
Mike Young's 6 foot.
So is Drew Brees.
Drew Brees is 6 foot.
What his game's going to kind of look like. He's going to have to get the ball out.
5'10".
Yeah,
Baker Mayfield? Baker
he's
Mayfield.
Get a little bigger. So, Brandon, he's got to get a little bigger.
Baker's 6'1".
Hold on. Bryce is only like 185.
Exactly.
Something like that.
You need to put weight on.
You can get bigger. The talent, the arm strength is there. The mobility is there. You can get bigger.
If you're the Houston Texans, do you take Bryce Young with the number one pick?
Houston Texans better take whoever they can get because they're a terrible team.
I wouldn't put it past him staying another year just so he doesn't have to go to Houston.
Man, that's messed up. He's going to make another $800,000 anyway. It's possible.
Exactly.
Fight the Texans. That's terrible.
He may stay.
No,
I don't know.
You're looking at millions. You're looking at millions, though, dude. That's the difference.
So looking at the standings, we've got Georgia 1, Michigan 2, TCU is 3, and the USC Trojans, John, who you all left them for freaking dead back in the day. And I said I love USC to get in the college football playoff. I'll find that audio from August. I'll find it. I was all over Lincoln.
I
wish I would have put a bet on Caleb Williams to win Heisman, too, before then, because he just sealed it the other night against Notre Dame. My God, a performance.
It's pretty
if I can go get somebody, I would go get him. I mean, I don't think he's old enough. I think he's, a sophomore? So.
Yeah, he can't come out.
Colts, you better just suck one more year just so you can get Caleb Williams.
Oh!
One more year.
Colts can find him a Kenny Pickett out there.
I mean, they could – I mean, listen, you before we get into the rankings, I mean, this one's going to get you on a story. I know I'm getting you riled up for a story. So, shoot, John, why don't we just make it a homecoming? Bring old Michael Penix back.
Oh, my God.
What's the deal with the Hoosiers? He got better leaving.
Michael Penix, right. The Washington, neither one of us had Washington in our top. No, I think I did. In our top three.
Up on the Facebook page. I got our rankings up right there, right now.
And Michael Penix is now going to be probably somebody's quarterback playing Sunday.
You got him ninth, I have him 10th.
Yeah. Where they at? But they're officially like ninth in the AP, I think.
Yeah. I like USC more. I didn't like TCU. I think TCU loses this weekend. I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out there right now. I like Kansas State over them.
There you go.
And I think I, as a Big Ten guy, get me both of these teams back in. Give me both Big Ten teams back in the college football playoff this year. If there's any year, this is the year to do it. But you're going to have a hell of a matchup in the first semifinal of Ohio State-Michigan rematch. Who wouldn't watch that?
So watch Ohio State lose again? Alabama would have to. Wouldn't Alabama? I know they don't play. I know they're. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't they jump
they're
up?
They're sixth. Well, that's the thing. Ohio State's only lost one game, so they're not. Alabama's not going to jump Ohio State. Alabama needs a mixture of these three. For Alabama to get in, they need Michigan to lose, TCU to lose, and USC to lose. They need all three teams to lose. And that will guarantee them in. Guaranteed.
Right. Everything would move up, right?
If I still think if Michigan loses, they get in. I think they're a lock. Georgia's a lock. TCU has to win one way or another. USC has to win to obviously stay in. If one of these two teams, if TCU slaps off and loses or USC loses, I got Ohio State back up in there. You have to. But I think that's where the cutoff is. If it's two or more teams that lose, Alabama's got a shot. If it's just one of those three, then it's only the Buckeyes.
Okay.
But I don't think if Michigan loses. Say what?
You think the Big Ten had a good enough conference to have two teams? I don't. The Big Ten didn't deserve two teams this year.
I do. There's a reason, John. John. There's a reason why.
Go ahead.
There's a reason why they didn't put Ohio State and Michigan in opposite divisions way back when they did these divisions. There's a reason why they have it as the last game there is that based off of other conference championship games losing, they expect both of them to be up high that they'll just, by process of elimination, bump their way back in. There's a reason. Now, I don't – if you want to sit here and talk Alabama – I had fan bases. Who did I tell you I had fan bases coming at me the last couple of days?
Tennessee.
A couple of them.
Tennessee.
I had Tennessee coming at me. Tennessee, you deserve it. I understand there's no Hendon Hooker is out. He's torn the ACL. You got Milton in there as a backup, which is okay. You fucking wanna whatever to, against a Vanderbilt team. It's Vanderbilt. Let's calm down. This ain't the Super Bowl. All right, Vanderbilt's nothing. Sorry, they're not. Darius Garland might be the best thing they've ever had besides Jay Cutler come out of Vanderbilt. But, Derek Mason, I think, went there too. Not Derek Mason.
Skip Bayless.
But I do agree that they should be above Alabama. If we're going to go head-to-head, then we're going to show the race the whole season matters. Then in these rankings here, Alabama should be 7 and Tennessee should be 6. I'm just throwing it out there. That's the way it should be, and it's not, because the way the college football rankings people have put it, they've got Alabama, then Tennessee, which makes zero sense to me. All it shows to me is that it's how does the eye test look now compared to what have you done this season? So I'll give Tennessee that gripe. I do agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you compare the two teams right this second, Alabama's the better team out of the two as of right now because of Hendon Hooker.
As of right now, right. Right.
And that's
right.
Maybe what they're putting in their rankings here is Hooker is out. But, I mean, the Tennessee fan base believes that Milton's the second coming of God, apparently.
Well, no, he can't because he's a Michigan reject. I remember that quality for he comes up in Michigan. Yeah, Jim Harbaugh almost fired. Right. Brandon, I don't know why you hate on TCU, man. They're going to win that game against Kansas State.
They're not.
If they don't, then the Big 12, then the narrative is going, well, the Big 12 sucked anyway. The Big 12 didn't suck this year. I think the Pac-12, I know the Pac-12 leveled up this year. The Pac-12 was much more interesting.
Yeah, you
I
still owe them an apology, too.
Oregon, Utah, UCLA, I'm sorry. I am sorry. California, they had two good games. You know what I'm saying? But the Big 12 was very competitive. TCU, they played their I get it. They put 60 on Iowa State, Brandon. Come on, man. They're gonna beat Kansas State soundly.
I don't know about soundly. I mean,
I'm just going to be kind of intrigued, like how the top four kind of shakes out and who plays who.
What if like you get Buck? It could be. I mean, there could be. Listen, John. The last two times they played back in October, TCU won 38-28. But let me tell you this:
right.
It was 28.
They came.
It was 28-17 at halftime, Kansas State.
Right, I know they came back on them. I watched the game, dude.
So that's why I'm taking K-State. They ain't letting it happen again.
Okay. Let's just be honest. I put the total transparency. They're the weakest link of the top four, right?
Yes.
Do you foresee, let's say they win the game, and the top four, made the top four, you got USC, TCU, Michigan, Georgia. They're not going to put, the main event is Michigan, Georgia.
Correct. I think it matters on Friday night how bad USC would beat Utah. And they lost to them. Like we talked, we saw this one previously. They played on a Friday night.
Brandon, what do you think Georgia would do to USC?
I would personally
I'd rather
see TCU play Georgia. I'd rather have a USC Michigan matchup. I'm selfish like that. I think it doesn't matter who Georgia plays.
TCU could score points on Michigan. That's the scary part for Michigan. Michigan defensively is way better than them. That's the truth. But TCU can't score points on them. You know what I'm saying? Because they are a speedy team. You know what I mean? Brandon, you said you would rather see USC Michigan?
I don't think it's – yeah. Okay, I'd rather see Michigan USC, and I'd rather see Georgia and TCU. But I'll tell you this, it doesn't matter who USC plays. This year, still, John, if you got that Coke bottle and you start peeling back that label a little bit, what's behind that label? It's got the thumbprint of Oklahoma on it. And what does Oklahoma has done in the past in college football playoffs?
Just let people score on them. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And it's the same – you got the same people here. So – I'm glad they're getting in, hopefully. I'm glad it's going to be on paper, it looks good. USC is back, baby. Yeah, right? Reggie Bush, Matt Leiner era, Pete Carroll. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
I need another year of USC before they can win in the college football playoffs. They get in, I see too much Oklahoma in this year. So they get the doors blown off.
Yeah, Brandon. Knowing all this drama that me and you kind of talked about, and can the Big 12 get a team in? Can the Big 10 get two teams in? Why would anybody want to go to a daggone mega conference? I get why a coach would want to train.
I'll tell you why.
From a school to school, I get that.
Because
it's
expanding. Because the playoffs expanding as well. We're going to 8 teams or a 12-team playoff. That's why. So now your record of who you play within yours and what you've won means a little more when it's an 8 or a 12-team playoff.
So are we automatically, I wonder, I'm just saying, hopefully we get on the board of governors or something like that, man, of trustees to kind of think about it. I'm going to put our credentials in for that. I think automatic champions, I'm telling you, Brandon, I know it's going to be a great area for this shit too. If you win your league, you should get to the playoff. If you win the ACC, now the ACC is gonna have to, man, they're gonna have to clean up the ACC in the next couple of years, man. Because Clemson is like, listen, we the ones they Clemson now. I'm with you, Brent. You're gonna fall out. Why would Clemson stay in the ACC? What the heck has Georgia Tech ever done? And what's Georgia? I mean, North Carolina State is hanging on by a thread in the top 25. Notre Dame's got a relationship with the ACC, right? But, like, all the Boston College, they suck this year. They usually don't suck. This year they suck. Wake Forest got away from them this year. They were supposed to be better. They were at first, and then they kind of got away from them. The ACC, Brandon, it might just get either disbanded and get absorbed into something else. But Clemson, I get it now. Why should Clemson should join the Big Ten? or Clemson, Miami, like, dude, what's going on? They suck. You had high hopes for them, Brandon. I'm sorry. It looked good on paper.
It did.
When it first started out. But they're no longer a power. That conference is a name conference only. You know what I mean? I don't know how the hell. Sorry, folks. I don't know how the hell Syracuse beat Purdue. They shouldn't have. But they did.
I had a big bet on that game, so I'm glad Syracuse won that one.
Right. But, like, nah, man, the ACC, I mean, that's definitely down. That's definitely another year for them being down. So, like, if – and I know there's going to be, you know, more teams. are more schools going here? More so, like, there has to be. They have to look at the economics, man. I still don't believe think Notre Dame's gonna go join the Big Ten. They will never join a conference. They might have a relationship with a Pac-12 or a Big Ten or whoever. They'll never join a conference because they like their independence. You know what I mean? But I think Clemson, Brandon, I think they're kind of like, what are we doing here? They have to.
I think it's over.
Oh, you think they're riding the sunshine? They're no longer the school like where you think Tubby? You think not Tubby? You think what's his name? You think he messed up his when he didn't necessarily embrace NIL?
No, I just think they're gonna hurt because the division, the conference is not where it needs to be. There's no step up in that conference as you're seeing from SEC and Big Ten, and even the Big 12. With whatever they do,
we're going to the ACC. Who said that?
Yeah,
nobody.
That's more of a basketball conference. Let's be real, John. So I put the rankings together as if this was a 12-team playoff this year, based off where the rankings are at now. Obviously, your first four teams, Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and USC, they all get byes. They all get first-round byes as being the top four teams. Your matchups are the 8-9 matchup. The winner of this 8-9 matchup plays Georgia. Your 8-9 matchup is Penn State versus Clemson.
That
would be nice to see.
That'd be nice.
In the bottom half of that top bracket is USC because they're the number four team because one would play four if theoretically if the brackets went out. USC would play the winner of the 5-12 game. The 5-12, so the last place team into the playoff and the first team that's out of the top four, it'd be Ohio State and Washington. So you would possibly get a USC-Ohio State second-round matchup, which I think would be great to see.
Right, so we have conference champions, right, named.
Yes.
And then the following week, playoff start. Because
yep.
Conference champions, you just said they're not getting. They got a bye. Cause why? They got a bye because they already had an extra game.
Yeah.
Right.
In the very bottom half of the bracket, number two seed Michigan would play the winner of the 7-10. 7-10 is Tennessee and Kansas State, and then the three seed TCU would play the winner of. To play the winner of Alabama and Utah. Alabama would be the sixth seed. So you'd think they'd beat Utah. They'd beat TCU. It would set them up with a matchup with Michigan. And then they would go from there. So, by the way, I read this today. If Purdue beats Michigan, do you realize the Rose Bowl can say no to Purdue?
Because they're not necessarily – no way.
Because they're not the higher – they're not one of the top two higher-ranked Big Ten teams.
Uh-huh.
That's not in the college football playoff.
Wow.
How crazy is that? Typically, it's if one's in, the other one's in the college football playoff, so the other one's automatically in the Rose Bowl.
Right.
But not this way. No. There is a chance the Big Ten could say, no, we're going to take Ohio State or – well, Michigan ain't going to leave. Michigan's not getting out of the top four. But, yeah,
right.
There's also – we're right now at the Rose Bowl. Apparently, I love the Rose Bowl more than most people because Twitter was kind of up in arms. The college football playoff, they may snug the Rose Bowl forever. They may say goodbye.
Wow.
The Rose Bowl's been given a deadline tonight from the college football playoff to be in it for 2024, or else we're going to – keep you out. Here's the crazy thing, John. The Rose Bowl is also considering taking Penn State over Ohio State if the Buckeyes fail to reach the college football playoff. They would take Penn State even over Purdue. How wild is that?
Because they know, I guess they figure, it goes into – like, who's going to pack them in for us?
So here's the quotes.
Who's going to draw ratings for us?
The Tournament of Roses officials met with the Big Ten on Wednesday to discuss the Rose possibility. The Rose Bowl, to this point, has always taken the highest-ranked Big Ten team when losing the league champion to the playoff. However, per the Rose Bowl's website, if the next highest ranked team is in a, quote, cluster of teams, meaning there is another team or teams from the same conference ranked within several spots of each other, the Tournament of Roses will select the team from that cluster that will result in the best possible matchup for the Rose Bowl. Unlike Ohio State, which has been to Pasadena twice the last 4 years, Penn State has not been there since 2016. Purdue, which was not ranked in the latest top 25 college football playoff, would earn the Big Ten's Rose Bowl, would, quote, earn the Rose Bowl bid with a win over Michigan Big Ten championship. Asked what it would be considered a cluster in the rankings, the chair of the committee said there's no magic number. The teams have to be ranked for several spots of each other. So there's a chance that if Purdue wins, they'll most likely get the Rose Bowl. But, you know, the Rose Bowl's trying to look for rankings, right? Ratings. And you ain't going to get it with Purdue. I'm sorry, not this year. So we'll
hey,
see.
Dude, I'll go. Give us the credentials. Get us out there.
So, yeah, I'm glad. I want that late third quarter, 5 minutes to go when the sun's starting to sit over those mountains, and I'm about five bourbons in right now, and I can just look at the sun just with the pink sky. Oh, there's no better setting. I'm going to change that to my background. One of the greatest sports moments in history is the Rose Bowl third quarter. I always tweet it out and Facebook post it. It's the best swing. Let's go to our picks, John. Let me bring them up here. Last week, John, I went 7-4. I had a great week. You went 6-5. The wheels fell off for Tanner for a second straight week. I've now taken the overall lead, 58-63-3. You're now 52-69-3. Tanner's 56-65-3. That's after 13 weeks. We've got 1 week left with the conference championship games, and then the records will be frozen, and then we will have our own bowl season records with bowl picks. That we'll do a special show just for those picks. Me, you, and Tanner, we're going to run through all the bowl games and do a pick every single game for the bowls coming up. So looking forward to that. That's just going to be a bowl special show. And we got to have Tanner for an hour and a half or hour doing that. So that'll be fun. But looking at the games, John, last week, you had the Boilermakers. Me and Tanner had Indiana covering it. It didn't happen. Me and you had Michigan or Mississippi State. That was a great one to watch. They ended up running outright. Tulane. I had Tulane chirp with them. Cincinnati. You guys both had Cincinnati. I had Auburn. You had Alabama. Tanner had Auburn as well, covering it. We both lost with North Carolina. That was a rough one. Nebraska, you both had, which was great. I'm trying to see. Oh, y'all gave me shit for Oregon State. And how about them Ducks? How about them Beavers? Y'all gave me shit. They were down by 20-something in the third quarter. Came back and won. Over the
Bo Nix. Thanks,
when
Bo
you
Nix
play in Corvallis, I'm telling you, Bo Nix or not, you play in Corvallis, the rivalry game, I called it. Oregon State, put that up there in the Matt Rhule status. And then we all three had Michigan to cover. You had them to win. We had them to cover, so we all got the right there. And then me and you had USC covering over Notre Dame, which was easy money, as the kids would say. So, all right, John, now we're going to dive in to our picks for this week. The MAC Championship, Toledo, 2.5-point favorites versus Ohio. John, what do you like?
Give me Ohio.
Going to take Ohio. I'm going to take Ohio as well. I like them covering in this thing. I think they cover. I think they win it as well. Sorry, I'm trying to fix my things here so I can. Why is it coming up? There we go. My colors were turning up. You got Ohio. I'm going to take Ohio as well. I think Ohio wins the game. I haven't liked what Toledo's done lately. They should have beat Bowling Green and the other night or a couple weeks ago, and they lost that one. So I don't like that. Pac-12 championship on Friday night. Utah versus USC. So we'll know what the number four team in the country is doing by Friday night. USC is 3-point favorites, John. They lost to them earlier this year.
They got that loss, Brandon.
Wins and covers this easily. I think Cam Rising, I think he tries to do one thing too many in this game, and I think USC covers with a late pick six or something late in the fourth.
Yeah, that's what he's known for, man. That game was – ah, man, Brandon, you know what? I want USC to win, but wouldn't it just mess things up, man, if Utah won? So that's what I'm going. I'm going with Utah to win.
Oh, okay. John's going with Utah. Big 12 championship, number 12, Kansas State versus TCU. TCU, 2.5-point favorites. You already know where I'm going on this one. I'm taking Kansas State plus the 2.5.
I'm taking the Horned Frogs. Give me the Horned Frogs. Legally lose.
Listen, I think it's time for – Kansas State needs to avenge this loss. They gave up some big plays in that game back in October. They had a 21-point lead in the halftime. They get that lead this time. They ain't looking back. So, you know, Bill Snyder sitting up there in the press box watching this game. Kansas State's back. It's good to see them. TCU, we saw them live, 2 years ago?
Yep.
Jalen Reagor down out there at Purdue. So,
yep.
The SEC Championship, John, LSU versus Georgia. Georgia, 17.5-point favorites. Does Brian Kelly's squad have it in them to even be within the 17.5, let alone win?
For once, we need to figure out what the hell happened against Texas A&M.
That was their one shot to get in.
One shot to get in. You know what I'm saying? Make a little noise. Brian Kelly, this is, you know, in your audition, you're here. You left Notre Dame. This is greener pastures. You took Herm Edwards, half his team, from Arizona State. Right? Took some other guys from wherever else, right? Man, I was a little disappointed in the Texas A&M game, Brandon. From LSU, I thought they should have been enough. And they never got it back. It's like they just kind of showed up thinking that Texas A&M was gonna lay down. And that didn't happen. So as far as this game is concerned, man, I'm glad in no Heisman conversation. Nobody's is mentioning the Georgia quarterback Stetson.
Stetson Bennett?
Because he's Stetson Bennett. Because though their team has an excellent record, man, his statistics are horrible, right? So, but no, this is this is what he does. He's a walk on. He's the greatest walk on in the history of college football, right? And you know what I'm saying? They're going to finish out strong. We know this, man. I don't foresee the LSU beating them any time, shape, way, or form, or fashion. So, Georgia, it should be Georgia in a thumping.
Yeah, I'm going to take Georgia as well in this game. I think they cover the spread easily. LSU, if they would have won, it probably could have kept it within a number. But the way they were, not a chance. Not a chance they even come close to this. Give me one second here. Jesus. France is really pissed off. Sorry, they lost the World Cup and their fans are just going crazy in the streets. WAC Championship, Fresno State versus Boise State. Boise State, 3-point favorites. Give me Boise in the – I don't think they're playing on the blue turf. Maybe they are. I think they're playing in Las Vegas. So give me Boise to cover this -3.
Yeah, Boise is still it ain't like the good old days, Brandon, of Boise State, you know what I'm saying, when they were doing
no.
the Statue of Liberty.
No Chris but Peterson.
They still are very capable of racking up some points on you, and yes, they still do play on the Smurf turf. So this game is not being played on the Smurf turf, man. There's no way I can go against Boise, man. Give me Boise.
Checking. Because if I don't check myself, somebody will fact-check me, and I'll end up being wrong. The game is being played this year. Come on. Football 2022 location. Got to love it doing live on the air.
That's all right. Where?
Riverside, California.
Okay. Yeah, Boise State.
Exactly. I've got them as well. Which, wait, isn't Riverside? Isn't
California,
right? Yeah, North California. The American Athletic Conference Championship, John, number 20. Well, was 22, UCF versus Tulane. Tulane, Green Wave, 3.5-point favorites. I took Tulane last week against Cincinnati and loved it. I love them again, minus the 3.5. I would love the I would bet this if it was below 3. 3.5, I'll take it for our picks here, but it's a stay away for me at that high of a odds.
Yeah, why not, man? It's the dream season for Tulane, man. They beat, they won some big games. They win, you know what I mean? They're potentially playing, not playing for one of the top four bowls. We know this, but they're playing for definitely a quality bowl this year, right? They beat Cincinnati. Cincinnati had a 32 game winning streak at home, never losing, something crazy like that. Maybe it wasn't 32, might have been 23. Either case, man. Tulane went in and held the business and broke the streak. So this is Tulane's year, the dream season, man. So yeah, to win that the AAC, give me Tulane.
Okay. The ACC championship, Clemson minus 7.5 versus North Carolina. John, what do you like in this one?
Man, can he keep them? You know what I'm saying? Motivated? Can Clemson? Because on the other end, man, you know, the freshman quarterback, Day, that plays for North Carolina, man, next two seasons, we're going to hear a lot statistically, man. He's already putting up big numbers. Just right now, North Carolina does not have, they've got a less than Big 12 defense, Brandon. Like, it's terrible. It's like arena football that Mac Brown's running there in USC. But, like, nah, man. Give me Clemson, man, to finish their season strong, man.
Don't sound confident.
Because that championship ain't happening. Yeah, that championship ain't happening.
I'm going to take Clemson as well. This is probably the last game for DJ Uiagalelei before he transfers out. He'll probably end up transferring to South Bend. Watch. Watch. He'll be in South Bend next year. Go ahead and clip that. Put that audio. 7:32 on Wednesday night. He'll be a Notre Dame Fighting Irish. So we both got Clemson on that one. Big Ten Championship right here, Lucas Oil Stadium, Indianapolis, Indiana, Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Crossroads Sports will be in attendance in the press box. Purdue versus Michigan. John, Michigan, 16.5-point favorites. What do you like? Big spread.
Yeah, that's a big spread, man. I like Michigan. Michigan's a little bit stronger. Than Purdue, definitely up front. Their defenses, they definitely have a better defense. They like to run with their running back, so that's like ball control, time, clock management, you know what I'm saying, clock control, all that, right? And then they're playing inspiring football. They're trying to get back to the national championship game. They're trying to get back to, you know what I'm saying, to see what they did last year, did they do enough to beat Georgia or to beat whoever. Right? So, you know, they're not going to – I mean, again, nothing against Purdue. Purdue has not necessarily done enough to say they can win these type of games. They put themselves into the – this is the great thing about Purdue. They put themselves to be in these type of games and conversations, to be playing them, but they haven't done enough for me to see. For them to, you know, say, yeah, Purdue can beat Michigan. So, no, give me Michigan.
Okay. 16.5 points. That's a lot of points for Michigan, who just spent all their energy on a huge game at Ohio State. Now they got to come down here to the Big Ten Championship. What, 60 miles for Purdue to travel down here? Mm-hmm. First time, Lucas Oil Stadium. First time Big Ten Championship game for Jeff Brohm. I mean, here's a note. Michigan's what, ranked number 2 in the college football playoff? Jeff Brohm's 3-0 as Purdue's head coach versus a top 3 ranked team ever. 3-0. Hasn't lost. Who's those teams? Michigan State, Iowa, And it was number two, Ohio State, in 2018. Crossroads was there on the field when that shit happened, that craziness. 3-0. So that's saying I don't think Purdue could win the game, John. I really don't, unless Michigan has a dud. Dud, just a complete dud that we've seen from Ohio State, that last one. I don't think Purdue can win. Do I think they can cover 16.5? I think they cover it through like 9 minutes left in the fourth, and then Michigan just rips one. I haven't seen this Purdue defense being able to stop the run, and that's Michigan's bread and butter. Give me Michigan minus the 16.5. I just, as much as I want to take the Boilers to cover, I think Michigan's run game is way much better and Purdue's run defense is horrible. Plus, if you want to beat Purdue easily, just throw to your tight end. That's all you got to do. Iowa's done it. We've seen Penn State do it. We've seen Iowa do it. Go throw to your tight ends. So I'm taking Michigan as well. So that is our picks, John. We're going to hit a quick ad read. When we come back, we'll dive into the NFL here for the next half hour or so to kind of end the show on. So we'll be right back after these messages.
All right.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm Insurance Agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm Agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born. Specialize in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks. Offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, maverickcustommotorsports.com. Use the promo code CROSSROADS at checkout to get an exclusive discount. Like I said, check them out, maverickcustommotorsports.com. They ship worldwide. They'll ship it to you. You don't have to worry about getting out in the snow. They'll ship it all to you. Use the promo code CROSSROADS at checkout to get that exclusive discount, and also let them know the Crossroads Sports sent you.
Crossroads Sports would also like to thank Wiseman Logistics. Their team is dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages. Services, domestic and commercials, available for delivery of your packages 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's Wiseman Logistics. Hit them up at 877-744-6212. Wiseman Logistics.
All right, John, we are back. Dive into the NFL, and we're going to go right to the Steelers and Colts game, John. Steelers win 24-17. I was in attendance. I've only had one loss in my career that I've went to a game and saw between the Steelers and Colts. But Steelers started off strong, John. Colts had a big kick return in the second half to start to get that game back. Colts offense just in the beginning of the game just looked anemic. It looked dead. First possession, they went pass, pass, and the third one was picked off a hell of a play. It took them a while to even try to think about going to the run game, which is crazy. I'm sorry. Hello. It's still the same team no matter who the hell the coach is, whether Jeff Fress, Saturday, or Frank Wright. And I believe Jimmy Ursay, and let me see if I still have this. I think I do. Let me play this real quick.
I'm glad he doesn't have an NFL experience. I'm glad he hasn't learned the fear that's in this league. That's because
he said he's glad he doesn't have the experience. Is that what you said, Jim?
I'm glad he doesn't have an NFL experience.
John, he's glad he don't have the NFL experience, but the NFL experience of a head coach would have known that you call a timeout. John, I was in the arena yelling how much I loved it. First and 10. Colts have a first and 10 with a minute 40 to go. Matt Ryan gets sacked. Okay, that's at a minute 32. First and 10, Matt Ryan gets sacked, minute 32. Clock's running. The third down play call, which was Matt Ryan's scramble to run, did not go until 59 seconds. So 33 seconds ran off the clock between the play after the sack to the third down play call of Matt Ryan's QB run. That left it down to 50 seconds. No, and then no play. The next play wasn't called until 30 more seconds ran off the clock on a third and two handoff to Jonathan Taylor, who got sat, who basically got stuck behind the line by Alex Highsmith, who knew the play before the Colts even did. 35 seconds ran off the clock. It was fourth and three when the timeout was called with 31 seconds left, John. You had a minute and 40. There was a waste of 1 minute and 12 seconds that was never a timeout called, and you had all three. The team was in disarray. The team looked disheveled. The players knew it. Jeff Saturday now regrets the timeout. He didn't call. And what was it, John, Jim? What was it?
I'm glad he doesn't have an NFL experience. I'm glad he hasn't learned the fear that.
Oh, yeah, you're glad. Okay, this one's on Saturday. The loss is on Saturday because I was expecting him to drive down the field and score. You could say Matt Ryan wounded duck balls and all that. The momentum was with the Colts in the second half. That's piss poor time management. And that's I'll tell you this, that's one thing you would not have gotten from Frank Wright out there.
Yeah, man, you're just rubbing it in, man, when you keep on playing the – I'm glad.
He won the game?
He doesn't know. No. Man, it was just bad football.
We're the fourth winningest franchise in the league since 2000.
So,
all right, that means in the upper quartile of winners, we're in the top quartile of that upper quartile.
And that's rare air. But the top quartile would have known when to call timeouts. But they didn't, and Mikey T and the Steelers, we get another win. Kenny Pickett, George Pickens. Did you watch the game, John? George Pickens, a bad dude.
Yeah. No, man, this is bad from a coach standpoint, man. Then again, you hung another 17 points up, and it's not 1984. It's 2022. And your football team can't score over. It's averaging in the teens. And again, that's bottom of the league. It's very also highly concerning that, again, we also have a case of the fumbles between the quarterback and the running back.
Huge fumble in the red zone. I thought you guys were going to score. I thought they were going to score on it.
I thought they were going to score, right. So, again, that speaks to, like, what are we doing in practice? Are we drilling enough? I don't know. I host a podcast. I co-host a podcast. So, but, and you know, again, but, like, Brandon, like, everything kind of just points back to, it's not Jeff Saturday's fault. He's here to be, you know, bring in some energy. Do I think Jeff Saturday knows football? Absolutely. Can he coach a football game? Absolutely. Did he make a blunder there? Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? What are we playing with here? Matt Ryan has looked better in a non-Colts uniform. He's looked better. Right, so there's QB struggles. There's struggles with the running back, like I just said. Like, dude, the fumbles that you were known for and that you shook Jonathan Taylor from leaving Wisconsin have now come back. You know what I'm saying? And again, we know, you know what I'm saying, the defense, you can't ask defense to keep on playing, you know what I'm saying, lights out week over week. So again, the defense on the first half took a nap. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, Brandon, you kind of got to figure out, like, at some point, man, a lot of this, you can't fire Frank Reich again. He's gone. Chris Ballard. You know what I mean? So
DJ Watt did not get in the backfield, but that offensive line still gave up sacks.
Right. So, like, so the offensive line, is it because the offensive line doesn't work well with the quarterback? Is that what we're doing? Is that what do we need a more mobile quarterback? Is that what it is? Do we need a younger quarterback? Is that what it is? Do we need a younger is the offensive line banged up? Is that what it is? I don't know. You know, they have to figure those things out. And right now, this is kind of what the off-season mode is kind of already kind of in people's mouths, because, like, you're behind the eight ball. You haven't won a division game, right? And you don't have, like, but one more in front of you to play, I think. So the whispers. Is Jim Harbaugh coming? Is Chris Ballard going to return?
You'll talk to him this week.
Who's going to quarterback? Who's going to be? Is CJ Stroud? Like the Crossroads Sports is on there talking about Max Duggan could be a candidate for quarterback here. You know, saying in Indianapolis. Who knows, man? So the Colts are in a hot mess situation, Brandon, and they've got to play out the last couple games. They can pick up two more games, three more games, maybe. That would be pie in the sky to win three more games, but it's kind of over. It's over.
I see on Facebook you trying to call Reggie Sykes. He's turtling. He's turtling. He's cowarding. He's been shut up. He does no room to talk about his Colts, talking trash about my Steelers just as much as Dan Dockich, turtle as well, saying that the Steelers were one of the worst teams in the league. We're not great, but I mean, there's worse teams. And speaking of he flip-flopped so much, but Reggie Sykes, all that shit, he was talking about the Steelers. You haven't beat us since I was in college back in 2008. and overall, if you want to really pull records, we're 27-6 against you guys. 27-6. You've only won three times in my entire life of being alive. In 37 years, you've only won three times. So, Reg, go back to the drawing board and know when to speak. We're about to
go. Franco Harrison, yeah. I'm giving my resume.
Oh, by the way,
you remember
back, and you can put this clip to Reggie or whatnot, I don't care. Back when Jackson State played Southern, and he was like, Southern's going to win, and Southern, and they got waxed. I don't even think they put points on the board in that game. I think they got...
They didn't, but there's the rematches this weekend.
Exactly. So they I'm trying to let me find that score real quick because I want to the fans people need to know.
It might have been like 38-0.
It was 35-0. 35-0. And I crawled into the hole with Reggie and said, you know what? I'll take Southern and the points. They were down 22-0 at halftime. They gave up 22 points in the second quarter. They lost 35-0. I texted Reggie the other day. I said, Reg, it's 17.5, Jackson State. He goes, take Southern. I'm taking Southern. Man,
what?
He's too homer. He's Homer Reg again. He's back to Homer Reg. Jackson State's going to wipe the floor with Southern this weekend. I'm sorry.
Right.
They're going to.
On Deion's way out, they're going to wipe the floor with Southern.
But anyways, Steelers whoop the Colts' ass. Reggie has to shut up another year. There's nothing better than that. And I looked at the schedule. We do play here in Indianapolis again next year, so we'll see how it is. Kenny Pickett looks serviceable, John. I'll say that. I don't have much to say about my Steelers because it showed out there. Najee was hurt. Pickens looked good. But TJ was very quiet. It was a very quiet game. TJ was a little banged up. But Pickett looked good. He looked serviceable. The last three games, John, the offense hasn't had a turnover the last three games. We're 2-1 with that happening. So the good news is we beat the Colts. The bad news is we went from the 5th pick now to the 13th pick in the draft. So
that's all right.
So we'll see. To finish up on the Colts, John, this weekend they're playing Sunday Night Football at Dallas in Jerry's World. Thoughts on that? Reggie better watch it. It could be two bad weeks for him and that Cowboy fan base.
Oh, with the star brand, right. Tall task for the Colts again, man, on the road. You got a red-hot Dallas team. They can run it down your throat with the backup, with the starter. It doesn't really matter. Or Dak Prescott can kind of carve you up. And even he can have, like, a piss-poor game, a C-plus game where, you know saying, throws a pick and still, you know saying, throw for, like, 300-plus yards. So it's going to be all heads, you know saying, all hands on deck for the Colts. If they hope to win that game, they got to control the line of scrimmage. They got to control the, you know what I'm saying, Pollard or Mr. Ewok himself, right? They got to you know, contain those running backs. And then, like I said, hope Dak doesn't, like, you know what I'm saying, just kind of pick apart the secondary of the Colts. So it's a tall order. And usually Dallas is, I feel like Dallas is like a really like a second half team. They've got a second half surge on. So coach got to be able to withstand that. You know what I'm saying? So tall order for the tall task for the coach this weekend.
Is it bad, John? I looked at the schedule, and I think the Colts realistically could only win maybe one game left on the schedule.
Yeah, it's not bad. I said two. Max, that'd be
fine. I bet you we have the same game. We'll go through it real quick. So they're at Dallas this week. We both have them losing. Next week they're on a bye. They have the latest bye, which is probably – they probably should have had it a while ago, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Week 15, they're at Minnesota. I don't see a win there against the Vikings.
No, not the red-hot Minnesota Vikings.
Week 16, they're at home the day after Christmas against the Chargers. I think the Chargers win that game. I do. I've got the Chargers, but also the Chargers beating the Colts. Week 17, the Colts are at the Giants. I got the Giants beating them because the Giants are fighting for a playoff spot there. It means more to them. And then week 18 is the Texans in Indy. I think that's the one game the Colts win.
For sure.
And Colts, you're setting up yourself. You got five wins on the season. That's good enough to get you a good top five pick for the draft. So there you go.
Yeah, change is coming.
Looking at scores, John, Bills beat the Lions. Bills came back there against the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Cowboys with a big win against the Giants. The Vikings with a huge win against the Patriots. That was good. I actually put a parlay bet with those three teams winning, and it was beautiful to see, to be able to cash that. The Browns beat the Bucks, John. That pissed me off because I had that in the bet. That one shocked me, as well as the Jaguars beating the Ravens. I mean, who's the Ravens, John? I feel like we talk about it every week with the Ravens.
Yeah, we were talking about it for the summertime, man. You told me don't worry about it, man. But I think we're floating into where Lamar Jackson is going to be a franchise on a franchise tag, where they've had like two critical back-to-back weeks of meltdown football for the Baltimore Ravens. So I don't know, man. They're not as strong. They're not ascending. I would say, I know you mentioned some names. I'm going to mention this with the Bengals. You know what I'm saying? Since Joe Burrow, you know what I'm saying? He kind of, you know what I'm saying? He's back, you know, from the, it seems like fully back from the little appendix that he had situation. Last three games, he's putting up like those numbers, those scary type of numbers, man. So, just like I said, man, I mean, from a betting standpoint, nah, man, I would imagine nobody was happy about that Cleveland game. Cleveland beating, with Tampa Bay, man, but Tampa Bay is just decimated with the offensive line play, man. So I don't know even what. But here's the crazy thing about that, Brandon. If everything kind of like ended today, they would still host a playoff game, and I think Dallas would have to go to play Tampa Bay.
Yes.
So,
standings right now, Tampa Bay is up a half game on Atlanta.
Yeah, their biggest thing right now in Tampa Bay is health. And can they get guys to come back?
5-6 leads that conference, or that division, excuse me.
Leads that division. That's crazy.
Dolphins get a big win. They continue to roll. They roll over the Texans easily. The Bears are the Bears, packing up shop for the year. We see what we got with Justin Fields. We'll be ready for next year. Jets got a good win. Mike White, John. I don't think they like our boy, your pretty boy there. I think they're over it.
I think they're over Zach Wilson. It might be some type of change, right, in the off season, man. Mike White did put up some monster numbers, like over 350 all purpose yards, something crazy, man. But
did you ever see the movie Draft Day?
Yeah.
And you remember in that movie when they asked him what was the one thing when you go to draft Bo Callahan? What's the one thing that's the problem with drafting Bo Callahan as number one as quarterback? Nobody showed up to his birthday party, right? Because they didn't like the quarterback. It's the same thing with the Jets.
You think that's what it is?
They don't like him, man.
Well,
he's a pretty boy.
Yeah.
His own teammates didn't like him at BYU.
Hmm.
That story just came out. I just read that this week.
But he's rubbing guys the wrong way. It ain't necessarily.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jets are interesting back this year. So, as the playoff picture kind of develops, man, you know, the AFC still kind of just probably runs through, I would say, Kansas City, though, Brandon.
Are you ready? Yeah, well, yeah, I agree with that. Bengals got a win 2016 over the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one to watch. I think we both owe an apology to the Commanders, John. They're 7-5 with Taylor Heineke.
At some point, man, whenever Ron Rivera ever gets a real quarterback, one that, you know what I'm saying, he might win a Super Bowl. Because he knows how to coach defense. He knows how to coach a defensive. I mean, he doesn't even have his main defensive guy in uniform still, in Chase Young.
Yeah. Cardinals lose another one. Kyler can get back to playing some Call of Duty. Chiefs continue to Chiefs just run. Say what?
That's it. They're going to fire Cliff Kingsbury.
They should.
He might be back one of these college coaches.
He might come to Indianapolis, or say might hire him. Chiefs get a big win. They're continuing to roll. I have them as the best team. Eagles, huge win over the Packers. Jordan Love didn't look too bad, John. Maybe it's time to – I mean, Roger says he's playing this week, but he got that hurt hand. Maybe it's
– maybe time for Jordan Love errors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they put up 33 points.
Yep.
So, but Eagles, I got Eagles, Chiefs, those top two teams in the league with the rest of my top five. Vikings at 5. Yeah, I think I had Chiefs, Eagles, Bills, Cowboys,
Miami. I thought you had Miami.
Ooh, maybe I had Miami. I don't think I had the Cowboys in. I think that no.
I think it
Cowboys,
was Miami. It was,
Cowboys were 6. They were behind the Vikings. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this week's games. Looking ahead, real quick, tomorrow night, Bills and Patriots. The spread opened up at 6.5 for the Bills to win. It's already down to 3.5. So there's a lot of heavy, heavy Vegas odds is going on to New England. So I'm not saying that New England's going to win, but the Vegas odds are shifting that way. So it's something to keep an eye on and watch. My Steelers play against the Falcons this week. It should be a get-right game for us. I think it's a good one for Kenny to get back going. It's at Atlanta, so we'll see what happens there. Packers at Bears. An injured Aaron Rodgers going in. If Justin Fields plays, John, I think the Bears beat the Pack.
I think Peterman playing, man. Do you really? It wasn't that bad. What we saw in Green Bay either with Jordan Love.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I was really sitting. Think about him, like, dude, the health, his long-term health is more important to that franchise than, you know what I'm saying, beating the Bears. So.
Right. Couple good games I'm going to like to watch and see. Jets at the Vikings, 7-4 Jets at 9-2 Vikings. I think Vikings will get it done, but 7-4 versus 9-2. Commanders, 7-5 versus the Giants, 7-4 division game there. I'm going to like that one. That'll kind of help. The fight for the NFC East. Titans take on the Eagles. That's huge for the AFC South. So Titans are going to the Eagles. And then Dolphins at Niners. Yes, it's a Super Bowl matchup. Some people have thought Dolphins 8-3 at the Niners 7-4. And then also Joe Burrow and the Bengals host Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in the 425 game. Chiefs at Bengals. That'll be a good one. And then your Sunday night football is Colts and Cowboys. So a lot of good games this week coming on. John, I want to talk college basketball before we wrap real quick.
Yep.
Shout out Purdue Boilermakers, John. Double digit 20-point smacking of Gonzaga, an 18-point smacking of Duke. The Boilers are up to number 5 in the country. They're taking on Florida State tonight. It's good to be a Boilermaker right now. They've got – that squad is playing well. Zach Edey's playing well. The freshmen are stepping up. Lawyer as well as Braden Smith. I put on Twitter, if this Boilermaker team can play as well they do in November, December against big teams as they could, if they can play as well in March as they do in December and January, this would be a great team for a championship. But so far, Painter's got this team in the right direction where most people thought they would be kind of towards the bottom of the middle of the Big Ten this year.
Right. I think it's where everybody had them, especially when you lost the like I said, the senior and Trevion Williams and then the lottery pick. and Jay Divey, man. Imagine if you had Jay Divey this year. Imagine if you even had Eric Hunter, who's now playing for Butler, playing for this team. And where would people automatically peg him into the Final Four, wouldn't they? You know what I'm saying? Right. With those kind of guard play. But, like, no, man, those guys aren't here. And Purdue is, you know, just leveled up, reloaded. You know what I'm saying? Some guys with red-shirted now are kind of going to be leaned upon. And some guys who were last year, like, role players, again, are going to be leaned upon. And they stepped up, man. You gotta like what Purdue is about. They're about winning. Now, those folks over in Bloomington are still chatting that bull crap, Brandon. Well, they haven't won anything really. I get it. They haven't necessarily won a national championship, right? What Big Ten team has won a national championship in the last 20 years, right? But you know what? Purdue has enough Big Ten championships for anybody to question them, to say that they're blue blood now. We can say that. Me and you have been saying it. You guys,
right.
I get it. Is Gonzaga blue blood? They are. They ain't won a national championship. You know what I mean? So I look at it like that. Consistently winning programs who automatically float, you know what I'm saying, between Sweet 16 and Grade 8 and Final Four or winning a national championship. That's what a blue blood kind of stands for right now, and that's what Purdue is right now. So you got to be excited for them, but you just got to hope that with the synergy that they have, just kind of carries on into, like you said, into February and March and into early April, and they'll be right there.
They got a 1-point lead right now against a crappy Florida State team. Florida State's 1-7. Purdue's up 26-25 with 3 minutes left in the first half. So
that's last year's team, man, playing teams.
Yeah,
you know, saying to the level of competition, man. Nah, this team has to know that they're better than that, and put that team out of its misery.
Yep, Hoosiers. Hoosiers ranked number 10 in the country, John. They've got a big one tonight here in about an hour against North Carolina. And mm-hmm. Tanner's a big North Carolina fan and a Hoosier fan, but this Carolina team is probably a good thing not on. Carolina's lost two straight. They're almost out of the top 25. And I called they would
be
out
of the top 25. Yeah, kind of spiraling. I hope IU does not take them lightly. I know their big guy, the star guy, Babcock, I think that's his last name. Shame on me if I messed it up.
Baycott.
I think he's a little – Baycott, yeah. I think he's a little – a couple of little nagging injuries, man. And that kind of happens after the exhaustion they had against Alabama. But, like, no, man, if the Hoosiers think that the North Carolinas is going to come in and they're going to lay down, I think they're going to end up losing and looking bad, man. I think the Hoosiers got to win this game. Just to keep, you know what I'm saying, that pride talking, like who's the best team in the state, kind of keep that, you know what I'm saying, going, man. So big game for them tonight, big, you know what I'm saying, as the ACC Big Ten Challenge is going to leave us, unfortunately. But, like, man, big game tonight for the Hoosiers.
Okay. All right, we got our guy, Reggie Sykes. What's going on, Reg?
What's going on, fellas? What's going on? I don't think IU is going to take North Carolina lightly. Coach is not going to let that team take anybody lightly. I like the state of basketball in Indiana right now. IU's playing good. Purdue's playing good. Pacers playing good. So I'm pretty happy with the way the basketball's going right now in the state. Edie, you know, he, I just heard them say that he may be in the running for Player of the Year, you know, the way he's playing.
That's crazy.
I'm pretty excited.
Shout out Brandon Brantley. That's Brandon Brantley work right there.
Coach Brantley, yeah, for sure. Coach Reg, what else is going on with you, man? You haven't called in, man, and you got it. There's a big game going on this weekend, man, with your alma mater. Are they going to score points this time for us?
Yeah. We're going to win this.
Reggie, I took your advice last time, and I lost money. I can't do it this time.
Hey, look, man, I can't always, you know, some of my bets are win, some of my bets are lose, you know. But I think this team is going to be highly motivated for this rematch, and this will be the last time that we're going to prevent Jackson State from having an undefeated season. You know, I think the talk about him leaving, going to Colorado State is probably influencing the kids and stuff, you know. I don't think he's knocked it down, you know. So maybe we can come in here and give him do like
a
Chicago Bears in 95. Give him an L, you know.
Okay. I got you. I got you.
Reg, anything you want to say to me? Something happened Monday night.
Pacers looking really good, man.
I don't know what happened on Monday night. I know the we'll talk Pacers in a minute.
He balled out in L.A. on Monday night, man.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we'll talk Pacers here in a second.
Am I hitting that the 3-point shot to win the game?
Great. Yeah. Hey, what did Miles Turner do on Sunday night? He gave up, what, 29 points and 30 rebounds to Zubac?
He went out. You win as a team, you lose as a team. And plus, wasn't nobody hitting nothing that night.
I don't care about that. You just going to let one player have 30 rebounds.
Miles wasn't the only one on it, you know. I really think what you call messed up on that, though. He should have bought Goga in a lot earlier to try to deal with that size on him a little bit, you know.
Right.
I really think he should have did that. But it's going to be pretty interesting tonight to see Miles playing against Sabonis and everything. That should be a pretty interesting matchup, you know.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Going against Fox, you know. Yeah. That should be pretty interesting.
Hey, John, you know what else was pretty interesting?
Uh-oh.
It was that Steelers win over the Colts on Monday night.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Reggie, I was at the stadium yelling because where's the time management with calling timeouts? They wasted went through it during the show. They wasted a minute and 14 seconds with no timeouts.
Yes, they did. But I just Saturday passed on that. This is, you know, first head coaching job. And I mean, it's just two sorry teams playing. Now one of them going to the playoffs. I mean, you want that to be your Super Bowl? It's your Super Bowl. It is what it is. And my green voice. You know, you want to crown them the champs? Crown them the champs.
We the champs, baby.
A 4-17 the champs. They the champs, okay?
You hear that? Ass-whooping. That's that ass whooping the Steelers put on the Colts every time. 26 or 27-3. Come on, Red,
yeah.
Or five.
That's just the highlight of your day.
Red, we're coming back. Red, the Steelers are coming back again.
We coming back next year, too. We're going to whoop that ass again next year.
No.
I had to get it in, Reg. It's the one time we play. I got to get it in.
Oh.
But I'm nervous for you. I'm really nervous for
I'm
you.
I'm already on.
You're on edge.
Basketball.
Okay, but you have to be on edge because I was telling Jonathan, I feel really, really bad for you because not only has the Colts been a shitty season, it is what it is. Year can't get over it. But you lose to the Steelers and you got to deal with me and my heckling ass and all that, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
But I told John, I'm really worried because I've seen what you put on Facebook, and what you put for the Steelers ain't half as bad as what you've done to these Cowgirls that you're going to go play next week. Are you prepared for the Cowboys trolling to come back-to-back week trolling?
There's a lot of people from Andy going to that game.
I saw
a whole host of people going, and everybody's wondering why I ain't going. I don't have no more vacation time. I'm out of vacation time. They don't even be going there. They don't want me in doubt.
Wow.
Oh, I'm worried for you, Reg. You might have to shut down Facebook for a day.
You know what? It's bad enough I got to deal with that dummy of the fake Presbyterian, and now I got to deal with you trolling. I mean, your team is hot trash, and you happy about them being hot trash. That's what we both should move on to basketball league football on right now, you know?
Are you prepared for the Cowboys? I've been told to ask that. I was told to have your – are you prepared to get trolled by the Cowboys Nation? I was told to ask this.
Look. I'm going to make a bet on them close. I need to put the line in. I took Purdue at 17 points at over 52, and I took what was the other game I took? What was the other game I took? I took a four-teamer. I took somebody else. I can't remember who it was. Another long shot to win.
Southern.
So No. I took Georgia to win. But I took the money line on them, and I wasn't the over or under. I don't remember what it was on that. That was what I took. So I had to take Purdue and the minus 17 points.
It's a lot of points.
I had to take it. Here in Indy, I bug it, you know. I took it. But I only bet $10 on it. I didn't bet the house.
Right. Hey, you smart there. So.
Yeah.
All right.
But, hey, man. You know that dummy say he's a Steelers fan now. He have 15.
What? Oh, no. We ain't taking him on the fan base. No,
he already said it on Facebook that he's a Steelers fan now.
No.
He cheered for 15 teams.
Make it 14. We don't want him on the Steelers. He can stay on the Bengals and all that, the Cowboys.
So are the Pacers going to be Sacramento tonight?
Yeah, the spread's 4. I took Pacers plus 4.
I took the Pacers, but I took the money line.
Hey, Reg, also do this. Here's another thing. Take Sacramento, whatever the spread is in the first quarter, take Sacramento. We can't do shit in the first quarter.
They don't
ever
play good in the first quarter.
Never. And I will look at the props. I want to see what the props are for Sabonis and Turner and their matchup, because that's going to interest me. So I'm going to look at that tonight.
All right, fellas. Well, I'm going to let y'all go because I really don't want to talk to a sore winner right now.
Oh, I love it, Reggie. Love it.
Later,
you have
bubs.
A good,
have a great one.
Good luck this weekend. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
All right. You have a good one, fellas.
All right. That was our guy, Reggie. I had to – ooh, it felt good to be able to give him shit and not have to hear anything in return. But Decott, you ain't no Steeler fan. Nuh-uh, stay away. We don't want that bad juju vegan. He said underdog, and then he said, listen, I don't think we got a straight answer from him about if he's prepared for the Cowboy trolls. Because it's going to be out on Facebook. He may lose it. He may get blocked again. So, John, do you want to give your little final spiel and then kind of wrap us?
Nah, man, I know we gave a lot of mad love to Purdue and IU, man. We can't also forget, man, shout out to the, I think, Indiana State. They only lost like one or two games. They're like two, like 6-2.
They lost
something
one,
like that, man.
But they're playing Drake tonight, who's undefeated.
Yeah, so they're back to their winning ways, man. Shout out also to the Ball State Cardinals, man. They played a host of teams, man, from Vermont. And parts in between, man. And like I said, they're going through some transitions of trying to get back to their winning ways, man. But like, man, some great fine quality basketball coming out of those two programs, so for sure, Ball State and Indiana State. Man, Brandon, we had a great show, man. I see we had a lot of interaction on the live today, man. I love that. I'm glad Reggie called in as well, man. I also want to thank our sponsors, Wiseman Logistics, Maverick Custom Motorsport, and Scott K. Nichols State Farm Insurance. How could we do our show without our sponsors? How could we do our show without our fandoms? Our fans listening to the show and the folks who listen to religiously listen to the show on a weekly basis. Shout out to Justin. I see him chiming in on Facebook Live. Like I said, man, great show tonight, man. We'll be back next week, big and bear. Hopefully, you know, saying your favorite team. I have a win, and we can say some nice things about them, man. But if not, you know, like I said, me and Brandon will be back here next week.
Maybe we'll do live at halftime of the Big Ten Championship, John. Since I'll be there, I'll go Facebook Live with you.
That's cool, man. That's cool. We'll make it happen, man. So there you go, folks. You got something to look forward to. Outside of that, folks, man, thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.